Hola.
Welcome to Word to Your Mama, the podcast that amplifies diverse voices and celebrates shared experiences. Hosted by me, Ritzy P., a Latina creative entrepreneur with a background in art, music, and new web technologies. From Academy and Emmy winners to activists, artists, and builders, we celebrate the rich diversity of my multicultural tribe. There will be special guests, mad laughs, and absolutely no BS. Word to Your Mama drops every Monday on your favorite podcast platform. This week we have Alisa Reynoso Morris. She is a queer Afro-Latinx Dominicana, Puerto Ricania, award-winning author, speaker, and mentor. In this episode, we discuss her current books that are out, Plátanos Are Love and The Bronx Is My Home, and her new book that's coming out this summer called Gloriana Presente. She also shares how her abuelita inspired her to become an author at the, you know, young age of 7. And then we discuss how storytelling is a superpower, the importance of libraries to authors and to the communities, and so much more. So, you know, I love New York. I love hip hop. I love the Bronx. I love Queens, Brooklyn, blah, blah, blah. She's from the Bronx. So we had like this instant connection. It felt like we knew each other. We laughed. She even mentions how her cheeks hurt. I mean, it's good times. Very, very good times. We need more people like this in the world telling these stories so that kids can see themselves reflected on the cover and in the stories. So let's do this. Alisa, muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing? ¿Cómo estás?
Mejor ahora que estoy hablando contigo. Super, super excited. I'm glad we connected on Instagram. Like, magic be happening in the end, y'all.
Right? Totally. Like, shoot your shot. Like, you know, just hit people up. Like, I was just connecting, just like, you know, and here we are today. And it makes sense. Like, I feel like I should know you. Like, we know each other. Like,
right. Like, we're in each other's like circles and yeah.
Right. That's what I feel. And then for, you know, a little BTS, there was a time. There was a challenge to get here. So we are here.
We are here. We are here. Yes, we are.
But other than that, How are you just in general life? Like, the world is crazy right now. How are you doing? Keeping it real.
You know, there are good days and they're not so great days. In full transparency, I'm right. Constantly a practice that I learned from my abuela was writing down the things I'm grateful for. Hmm. And so I have this app on my phone called Presently. It allows me to write down like one thing I'm grateful for every day. And it's a beautiful practice that I learned from my abuela. And now I use technology to optimize it, right? So it's like that beautiful intergenerational thing happening.
Right.
And, you know, that's really what keeps me sane, because I'm so privileged. I have so much to be thankful for.
Right.
As a mom to a healthy kid, I have so much to be grateful for that we live in the U.S. right now. And as much as we're doing a lot of things that I don't personally agree with, I'm safe, right? Like, I can't tell you the heartbreak I feel when I see these moms grieving over their children that are being indiscriminately bombed, right? Like, not to get political, right. But
it's... We can do it here. This is a safe space. We could do it. Like, these are the conversations. If you want to, I get it. Yeah.
And, you know, and I know, like, it's for a lot of people, it's tricky. And, you know, there's been a lot of words being used when you try to sympathize with the oppressed. And I don't know. I just, my heart says, regardless of the social, political, economic circumstances, however we want to make it complicated or we want to over or under simplify, like, at the end of the day, they are babies. They're innocent. Yes. Children that are getting caught. Right. in the crossfire. And it's been rough. It's been a rough couple months, you know, like, how do we celebrate while also grieving, right? Like, calling my representatives and being like, yo, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing anything? But at the same time, like, making space for some of the amazing things that I've experienced. Like, my the first edition of my first book, Black Don't Start Love, selling out in like 6 months, you know?
So, come with it.
Right. Right. Like, it just, my heart just doesn't know what to do. And there are days where it's just like exploding with joy because I do school visits all the time and I'm in classrooms and I get to meet these young kids and they're just like, I want to be an author one day. And they're like all excited. Right.
Too cute.
And then I look on my phone again and at the news and I'm just like, those are babies that are never going to be able to read again. Yeah. You know? Right. So. And that's where I'm at. What about you? How are you?
It's the same. I feel exactly the same way as you. It's just like, it's so complicated. There's like mad levels. And I always say, like, joy is resistance, but this is unprecedented. I never imagined that we would be seeing some bullshit like this, atrocities like this in our lifetime.
In our lifetime. And,
yeah. In our lifetime. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's like you said, I look at my phone and then I look at, you know, the supernatural bear, my son, and I'm just like, yo, like, there's good things, there's bad things happening. I'm going to have a link to that app for sure. I'm going to download that app. What's the only thing that has saved me is that I put limitations. My phone does not allow me to go on social media for at least a couple of hours in the morning.
Good, good.
Shuts down at night.
Yeah.
Meditation. The longest I've ever gone for, like, meditating, like, it's only 5 minutes, folks, or 3 minutes, depending on who I pick. I have this app and it's like some breath. I just need something to just be like, listen. And then it's just this balance of, you know, we're in the United States. It's like a crazy relationship, right? Complicated.
Oh, yeah.
We know this. We know this. And then also as creatives, as people that are trying to change shit, I feel like we're still living in a capitalistic place. Like, I still got to make money. So now it's just like, how do I show up? How do I say the things? Like, how do I say, oh, yo, you know, let's collaborate. Let's, like, now I'm just like shifting all that stuff to like intention. I feel like that's the only way. Right. Yeah. And then thank you so much for being here because we need to hear these stories. We need to hear how you came to this point. Right.
Yeah.
So let's take it back, Alisa. Let's take it back.
Yeah.
Where were you born and raised?
Born and raised in the Bronx, New York.
Ooh,
ooh. And yeah, like growing up in the Bronx, like I think anyone who has an urban like childhood, you know, like you go to like Colmado and like you have your school where you go and you have your park and you got your peeps, like, you know, and growing up to me, I thought that was like, that was it.
That's the way it was all around the world.
That's what it is, yeah. But, you know, I was privileged in the sense that I had family in the DR, so I would go and, like, visit them every summer, and it did give me, like, unconsciously, right? Like, at a young age, I was like, oh, there are many ways to be, there are many ways to live, and it opened up my eyes to the possibility of difference, right? And then as I got older, I was able to study abroad when I was in college. I studied abroad in India and in Tanzania.
Oh, dope.
And I've traveled to many other places since then. And it's been an amazing experience just to see how beautiful and rich different cultures are and their traditions and learn more about them. And at the same time, just seeing like the commonalities, right? Like right. the parallels, the fact that across all cultures, we bond over food, right? Like right. breaking bread together is a way that we build connection and community, and the power of storytelling across cultures. And right. Yeah, grew up in the Bronx. It's, I'm always going to carry the Bronx with me in my heart everywhere I go. And I loved it so much that my second book is actually called The Bronx is My Home. So,
right.
you know, I wrote my second right. book. Yeah. Are you done? Yeah. You know, I had to represent, it was so much fun writing this book, because while it's written from like a slightly like nonfiction lens where I throw facts and stuff in there so that even people from the Bronx are like, oh, espérate, I didn't know that. Like right, when I do school right. visits, or even with adults and teachers, they're like, I didn't know Pelham Bay Park was the biggest park in New York City. I didn't know High Bridge was the oldest bridge in New York City. I didn't know this, you know, like, so it's, right. it's fun to see that. But at its heart, what it is, it's a love letter to the Bronx, right? And growing up, I didn't hear or read or was exposed to love letters of the Bronx. It was always focused on just the negative. And I'm like, but no, let's change that narrative. And I'm glad that I get to be part of the new generation that is changing the narrative, reclaiming the beauty of the Bronx, and ultimately reclaiming the beauty of where we all come from.
Right. No, definitely super important. There's an affinity, the love that I have for the Bronx. I'm from the West Coast, soy Mexicana, but I always say music saved my life, hip hop saved my life. I have everything I have because of hip hop. New York, right? It's special. The yeah. Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, special. Mm-hmm. And there's something that I've always gravitated, right? And then I was like, why do I like salsa so much? And it's because when I was pregnant, my mom's best friend, she was Boricua from the Bronx.
Oh.
In the womb, in utero, was like exposed to it, right?
Yes.
And then I just meet people, like, it's like I track folks from the Bronx. Like, you know, like one of my like best amiga hermanas, Lilian Rivera, like shout out.
Yes.
We just get it. It's like we click. It's like a, you know, thing. Me
Honestly,
and people from New York.
If you were from the Bronx, I would be like, yeah, of course you are.
You're
an honorary Bronxite, you know?
Thank you. Muchísimas gracias. So I wanted to show you this. Actually, Lilian sent this to me. I had the honor of meeting her with Lilian. And I love this woman. I think she's hilarious. But I wanted to see if you felt the same.
Okay.
Let's see if you can see this here.
I'm crossing my fingers because I'm on my phone. So,
can you see this?
Ooh, I can see stuff. Yes, I can see it.
Okay, let me play. Hopefully you can hear it. This is the first time I'm doing this.
Just in case there's an echo.
Okay. Oh.
The most wrong thing about me is that I look at everybody like they dumb. I feel like every time someone is telling me something, they're trying to scam me out of something. I just be like, nah, they're trying to scam me. Two words, I...
Yo, for real. When I first went to college outside of the Bronx, I swear to God, I couldn't make no friends. And it was that. It's because I looked at everybody like they're dumb all the time. It was like my face. And that wasn't what I was trying to do. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right,
it wasn't. Right. I wasn't trying to intentionally make people feel bad or whatever. Right. But like, that was just my restless, you know how people have like restless, like bitch face.
Yeah.
I have restless, like you stupid face. Like that. Yes, that is facts. That is so true. And I'm a very expressive person. So it's still there. You know, like I've learned how to, in certain spaces and in professional spaces, tone her down a little.
Of course.
That's why I always am taking notes too, because I'd be like this. Because there are times where I can't suppress this face. So I'm just not going to let you see it. I'm busy. I'm taking notes.
right? And you're doing that to help them, to protect them. Sure. I'm doing it for your sake.
I am. Because I don't need you to go and have like a complex later. No, but I'm trying to save you from me. De nada.
Right. Right. When she said that I was dying, and then I was like, oh, I'm about to have Alisa on. Let me just put it. Let me try this. That's the first time I did that. And I was like, oh, I think she's going to, you know, feel it and relate or whatever.
I need the link to the whole thing now.
So
too.
I wanted to ask.
See.
Oh, I'm going to send you the link, and I'll put it in the show notes too, for those that are listening and not watching. You're also, is my research off? You're also, you're Dominicana and Puerto Rican, right?
Yep. Both. Yep. Both.
So growing up, doing the things, what a gift. Like now, I'm sure maybe there was times you're like, oh, I got to go back to DR for the summer because you just want to hang out with your friends. But now you see it as such a gift, right? So your childhood, or maybe it was later, but what was that moment that you're like, I want to write? I want to be an author. I want to tell the stories in this way. I feel like you're a storyteller regardless, but what was like, oh, this is the one of the outlets for that?
Sure, for sure. That's such an excellent question. I think, you know, it's come in and out of my life. Like, I knew I wanted to be an author since I was 7 years old.
Wow.
Because my grandmother was the OG storyteller. Like, she would tell a story and she could captivate the whole room, and she would have everybody at the edge of their seats, and she would make you laugh and cry and angry and excited, and it was just the best, most engaging, most captivating, most exhilarating experience to be in the audience, to know that she's my abuela and to know that she has that ability. Right? I was like, oh, this is dope. Like, I knew it was a superpower before I even, like, fully understood what superpowers were, you know? And I was like, I want that. I want that. I want what my grandmom does. But, you know, she grew up in the DR where she had a really, like, a second grade education. It was during the time when they didn't invest in girls.
Right.
And she taught herself how to read and write through, like, memorizing scripture and, like, reverse engineering, teaching herself how to write through the Bible. Such an interesting woman and the experiences that she had to go through. And so growing up, hearing her stories made me want to be a storyteller, but I was just like, what happens when you're not physically there, able to orate your stories?
Right.
So that's when I was like, what if I could write these things down? And so I was 7 years old, and that's when I wrote my first book, and it was called A Good Writer, and I wrote it with the help of my mom. And in it, I wrote that one day I'm going to be a famous author, and I'm going to read my books to kids all over the world, and I'm even gonna give some of my books to kids that don't have any. I wrote that writing is magic, and when I write, I have the power to do anything. I was wise at seven.
Right.
And you know, it was one of those moments where I was like, I had so much clarity. I was so focused. And then life happens. Adulting happens. You get pulled in 100 other directions. Like, how are you going to make money as a writer? Do you know any writers? Do you know how you're going to be a writer? Right. Are all writers old, white, dead men? You know, so that was the dream. And then reality came and was like, mira, pendeja, vete con eso. I was like, that's not happening. And so I pursued other paths. Growing up, it's like, you got to be a doctor or a lawyer. So I was going to be a lawyer. And I was a political science major. I interned for the United Nations, setting up witness protection programs. I did mock trial. I did all the things. I was going to be a lawyer. And then it came time to apply for law school. And I was like, I can't afford this.
Right.
So, you know, I got scholarships to go to college for my undergrad, but I couldn't afford law school. So I took some time off. I went into work in the nonprofit sector, was going to try to save my pennies together, you know, Michelito, Pavel. And then I actually stayed in the nonprofit sector because I realized at my core, what I really wanted to do was help people.
Right.
That's why I wanted to be a doctor, like a lawyer. I couldn't be a doctor because I'm squeamish and right. I will pass out. So I'm like, I want to help people. And then I was doing that. And I had the ability to do that through various nonprofits that I worked for. And in the back of my mind, though, I was always writing. I was always reading. And it was really at the time that I was getting ready, like getting my daughter's library ready, that I was like, wait, the industry hasn't changed in over 30 years.
Right.
Like, sure, there's a couple more options here and there. You know, like growing up, it was Sandra Cisneros and Isabel Allende and Julia Alvarez. You know, now we have Meg Medina and we had Jacqueline Woodson and a couple more options. But like, it was still very, it was not enough. And so I was like, boy, that's my sign.
Signs, symbols, and clues. Signs, symbols, and clues.
So I paid attention to the universe and I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
I love that. First of all, let me ask, is your abuelita still with us?
No.
No.
Not physically, but in spirit, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
If you haven't, a book about her story. Like, I want to know more about your abuelita. She sounds amazing. She sounds like...
She really is.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Teaching yourself how to do that. Because I was like, before I asked the question, I figured she was at least some type of inspiration because you said that she, because of her, you were writing down, right? So I was like, oh, there's like the writer connection. And I see that now. Like, great storytelling. This also reminds me, because, you know, my abuelita died a long time ago, how important elders are. How important it is to raise, for us to be raised in a community of whatever, heart-related, blood-related, whatever, but to listen to our elders. They have so much. Gracias for listening to Word to Your Mama. I have a unique cross-section of guests on here because I'm a consultant who thrives at the intersection of creative innovation, tech, and community impact. There are a variety of ways we could work together, so check out BritzyPeriwinkle.com to learn more. Link in the bio.
This is your friendly reminder to take a deep breath. Este es tu recordatorio para que respires profundo. Take a deep breath in. Inhala profundo. Exhale as you observe your breath, letting all the air out. Exhala, observando tu exhalación, dejando salir todo el aire. Would you like to help me reach my mission of teaching meditation to 1 million children? ¿Te gustaría ayudarme a alcanzar mi misión de enseñar meditación a 1 millón de niños? I invite you to join me in the Decide Balance Oasis, a safe space where families can find bilingual meditations and mindfulness practices and so much more. Te invito a que te unas conmigo en el Decide Balance Oasis, un espacio seguro donde las familias pueden encontrar meditaciones bilingües y prácticas de atención plena y mucho más. Go to DecideBalance.com for more details. I'll see you in the Oasis. Visita DecideBalance.com para obtener más información. Nos vemos en el Oasis.
Yes.
To teach us. Just the stories alone of your family lineage, like... Fuck ancestry.com. Like, what is over here? What is that? What do they have to say? They lived it, whether it's true or not, or like, you know, made up for something. Like, the essence is there. It's like, what is that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions that I was going to ask you, but you answered it, because I was going to say, like, oh, you know, you're a leader, you're organizer, community organizer, author, speaker, mentor, da 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 da. What's the through line? But you already said it, that you answered it. The through line is you want to help people, right?
Yes.
You want to lift people. And going back to your story of being your 7-year-old super hella wise self, you're You were a master manifester. Because all the things you were breaking down at 7 years old, you know, from your timeline, you're talking to these kids. You're giving the books away. You're all these things. That's full circle moments. Like when you look at that, are you just like, God, this is
that's why I love like that app that helps me like, you know, stay centered and like focus on the amazing stuff, because I was creating vision boards since before vision boards were a thing. Right. I had a room that I shared with my sister and my abuela. So it was three of us in one room. I did have my own bed, but really all I had was like my bed, a little corner next to the fire escape where I kept all my little, all my things, like my books and I had my wall. And on my wall, I had pictures of places I wanted to go.
Right.
I had pictures with my family and DR and all these places. Like I would, most of the pictures were actually in DR or like, you know, around New York City. And then I would put our picture in other pictures. Be like, one day where I'm going to take the whole family to Paris, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I had Langston Hughes's poem, A Dream Deferred.
Come on.
It was a whole wall. I have to find old pictures of this wall. But it was a vision board before I even knew what vision boards were at that time. It was a collection of memories. It was a wall of goals and where I wanted to be in the future. And yeah, like to speak to what you said, like I grew up single mom, three kids. There were times we didn't know where our food was going to come from. There were times we did homework by candlelight. Like, you know, we had our struggles for sure. But the one thing she taught me is that you are limitless.
Ugh, what a gift.
There is no limit to what you can accomplish. And she really instilled that in me. And yes, now I can claim that I absolutely am a master manifester, and I believe in the power of the universe, and I believe in my ability to manifest the life I want to live for myself. And I believe that for everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, as you were speaking and telling your story, for sure, one of the clips that I'm going to post is where you said you listen to the universe. I think that's what we don't, you know, we're just like, man, sometimes it's whispering, sometimes it's yelling.
Yes.
But it's like, listen to that. Like,
yes.
And it's never too late to listen. And I think, you know, I don't know how old you are. I know you're significantly younger. I could probably be your mama, but I'm over here in this age bracket and it's never too late. Like, it's never too late. So, okay.
Yeah.
Alisa, let's get into the questions and comments from the audience. So you already answered one. It was, what was the inspiration for The Bronx Is My Home? What I love about that is that you're showing love. It's a love letter, like you said, but that you're also teaching the folks in the Bronx about the Bronx, the history, to be even like you're already proud, but like, yo, like this is the significance on paper that you can be like, no one can question, like it's facts. You know what I mean? So the second part of the question is, what's the next book?
Yes.
And this is by the Supernatural Bear, my little man. He used to have a segment on here, but he retired last year. He's 11 going on 40. He used to have a segment on here, but he retired. He retired last year, at the end of last year. So, he wants to know. So,
I'm trying to retire, too. I'm trying to be a...
Right, right. He retired. He's like, you know. But before you answer that, before I forget, after that question, also answer, why is it important and how beneficial it is for... not by the mic. And how beneficial it is for authors... especially authors of color, authors of marginalized communities, to be available in your local libraries.
Ooh, yes. Okay. So first thing I'll say is Bronx Pride runs deep. I have never seen people more prideful of where they are from than people from the Bronx. And so whenever I show someone that from the Bronx that book, the way they light up is just, it's like, yes, this is why I did it. That right there, that right. facial expression.
I'm going to hold it up as you joy. Speak.
Yes, yes. And it's so important for our books to be available at libraries because I was a library kid. My mom couldn't afford to buy me every book that I wanted. You know what I mean? Like Scholastic would roll through and I would bring like my birthday money. I would put together like my birthday money and my Christmas money. But if I didn't have birthday money or Christmas money stashed away, like I couldn't participate in Scholastic. Like that's real talk. So for me, like that library card was my ability to just have access without the financial limitations that most kids are born into.
Right.
Because they don't choose their economic status. They don't choose what zip code they are born in. That is just their reality.
Right.
And because we live in a capitalist society and it is broken and flawed in many a ways, kids are born into these households and sometimes they don't even have a book at home.
Right.
And so for me, even when I was like deciding, like, am I going to self-publish? Am I going to traditionally publish? Like, what am I going to do? The main reason I decided to traditionally publish was because I wanted my books to be accessible at libraries. That right. was so important to me. And I'm happy to say that my first book, Platanos Are Love, this one right here.
Oh, super cute.
Is available in over 450 libraries across the country.
Nice, nice.
And my second book, I have to check more recent. I have to check the latest stats. But the last time I checked, it was available in over 100 libraries across the country.
Amazing. Amazing.
And this one is newer, so it does take some time.
Right.
Process those requests and all of those. But yeah, if you have a local library and there's a book that you want to see on their shelves, make sure that you put in a request for it because your librarians want to hear from you. They want to hear what books you are eager to read so that they are able to order them.
Right. The library is a special place. I homeschool. And so it's been an invaluable resource since Absolutely. We started our journey. And make friends. If you're a mama, a papa, a guardian, however you are, you know, you have you're looking over little ones, go to the library. They have events. They have, you know, even like it doesn't matter. Like there's donors for certain ones and make friends with the children library librarian. Like make friends. Ours is Miss Nancy. She knows the Supernatural Bear on a first name basis. Now, you know, he graduated, so he's in the teen center. But we were like this, I see. And she was like, What are you looking for? What do you need? Da 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 da.
Yeah.
And one thing that is new at our library, and when I asked when we connected, I was like, let me see if your book is in our library. Because if it's not, it needs to be. Because we're in the middle where a lot of kids are Black, Brown, and Indigenous.
Yeah.
So they need this. They need to see someone that looks like them on the covers. Absolutely. And then they can find out someone about someone that's like them, but it's a whole nother coast, a whole nother area, right?
Yeah.
But a new program, and I don't know, I'm sure it's not available at all libraries, but a new program is called the Zip Program. And basically, so that's how this is how we got this and how we're going to be returning this to the library brand new. And it's going to be up in there. Please believe it, I'm going to check for the Platanos one. But what you do is you just go online to the site. And we have a small, really small library. It's not even part of a chain. Like it's a really small independent one. And we go online. If there's not there, we put in a request. They send it to us brand new. Like we checked it out. And then we bring it in.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's a new thing. It's just started the last year. And I think it's donor sponsored. Yeah, I'll send you a link so you can see.
Yeah, send me the link.
And then this could be something, hopefully they can, I don't know what it takes, but hopefully this could be implemented across the board because, it's a small little library. Maybe they have the one book, but it's a series.
Yeah.
Where are the rest of them? Like, you know, we'll buy the books. Like, we're fortunate enough to buy the books. So we buy them and then we donate them to the library. But I'm thinking about the other kids.
Yep.
Like, you know, there's one in the series, but they want to read the rest of them. What are they going to do?
What do they do? What do they do? For sure. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Yeah.
So.
And those library loans, you know, those are cool, but not all libraries have access to that. So this could fill in those gaps.
Right.
For those libraries, for sure. And the other part of that question, the next book is called Gloriana Presente. And it's a first day of school book. So Gloriana, the main character, she's nervous. She's scared about going to school. And it really is about her finding her voice and building her confidence. And it's also like an intergenerational story because it tells you a little bit about the grandmother's immigration story and how the grandmother learned to find her voice as an immigrant. So it paralleled their journey, the grandmother's journey as an immigrant and Gloriana's journey as a kiddo nervous, you know, about going to school. So I'm really excited about that one. And it comes out July 9th, 2024.
So there's a link. We'll have all the links to her stuff and everything, but you can pre-order that. And that's very important. So pre-order that.
Yes.
Before we get into the rapid fire, not so rapid fire questions, I don't know how old your daughter is. How old is she?
4 going on 30.
Right. These kids, these old souls. How proud, what was her reaction when you showed her, like, oh, this is read her the book and it's your name on there, like, and there's people that look like her? Like, what was that like for you?
I think she's a little too young to really understand. I know she's proud of me because I've brought her to my events. So she's seen me in action.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's like sitting there and all the kids are excited and they're loving the book and they want to take a picture with me and they want to like give me a hug and stuff. And she's just like, who are all these kids wanting to hug up on my mama? You know, like,
that's my mama.
It's more that than anything else. You know,
cute.
Like, she's just like, this is interesting. What's actually kind of comical is that she thinks all the books are, like, I know every author now. Because, like, whenever we book, she's like, Mommy, is that your friend? Sometimes they are.
Right.
Sometimes they're not, you know? So I, like, I'm doing it. And she's just like, is that your friend? And then she went to school. She went to daycare. And she was asking. She's like, she asked her classmates. She's like, oh, like, what books are your moms?
The shade.
So, I mean, that's not the intention, right?
She's just thinking,
this is what all parents do.
Right, like, right.
Well, this is my mom's book. Where's your mom's book? You know?
Yes. Yeah, it's like super innocent, but also the shade.
And I had to like try to explain that to her. I was like, not everybody writes books, you know, like other people do other things. Like, remember the firefighters, they're able to do that. And some people are teachers and, you know, and I'm like trying to explain it to her that way. And she's like, okay. You know, like she's getting it.
Right.
But it hasn't like fully, you know, like dawned on her yet that this is like, you know, but she does think it's cool. Cause I'm like, you see that picture? That's Titi or that's Danny or that's, she's like, oh, these are people that I know. These are people that I love in this book. That's cool. You know,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Also just like being surrounded by that, the impact. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
The breaking the cycles is just a beautiful thing. All right, Alisa, let's get into the not so rapid fire questions, AKA the slow as hell questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
3 words to describe yourself.
Ambitious, compassionate, And loca.
I love the loca part. You know I do. The next one. What's the best piece of advice you've received?
Ooh, because I've gotten a lot of bad ones, you know. So.
Or give us the worst.
Advice. No, I'm kidding. I've gotten a lot of really good advice. I've been really fortunate to create a community of like authors, and we like share best practices with each other. And so that's been wonderful. I think the best advice that I receive that now I share is do what makes sense for you. You can apply that in every aspect of your life. Like, as a writer, for me, it's like when I'm writing and when I'm editing, like if the advice that I'm getting on and the feedback that I'm getting on my manuscript doesn't sit well, I think about it. I'm like, why does this not feel right?
Right.
And how can I, you know, like address it? And then for like marketing, that's the same thing, you know? There's a lot of people who are like, I feel the pressure to do all the things when it came to marketing, because I wanted my book to be super successful. Right. Mm-hmm. And if my books weren't successful, then that would prevent me from potentially being able to sell more books in the future, you know? So that was really like, that felt like a ton of bricks. Like, it's nowadays, it's not enough to be a writer. Like, you have to be a public speaker and you have to be a marketer. And that felt like a lot. So what I told myself is I'm going to do what makes sense for me. Right?
Right.
And so if you are a social media guru, that is, lean into that.
Right.
For me, my skill set for the past 15 years, I was a community organizer and I was an event coordinator. So I use those skills of community organizing and event coordination to leverage to promote my books. And it worked, you know. And I'm really grateful that it worked. So like, you don't have to do all the things. Just do what makes sense for you.
Right. And it also ties into what you said earlier, listen to the universe. Like, what is that sent? Like, that spidey sense, like, they want me to do this, but that doesn't even feel like me. Like, that's like going outside of being authentic. Like, let me do, like you said, what am I good at? What skills do I have? Lean into that. Totally. Exactly. Okay. Next one. What is your go-to song to get you hyped when you need it?
Celia Cruz, Vivir la Vida. I'm an old school. I love me some Celia Cruz.
Love it.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I love me some Bad Bunny and all that stuff too. Right. But like, Celia, all day.
Celia Cruz. Perfect. This is not the first time that Celia Cruz has been mentioned during this, but trying to think of what... She's like, yes, for sure. So, as always, this will be added to the Word to Your Mama guest hype list song playlist that we got on Spotify. So there'll be a link in the show notes. And then when this episode drops, please believe it, Alisa's song will be, her pick will be at the top. Okay, final question. See, what will be your legacy?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I want people to know, whether they've met me in person or virtually, or they've read my books, I want them to know that they are loved. So I want my legacy to be a legacy of love. That was my grandmother's legacy. Everyone who met her was just, they were like, esa mujer era fuerte. She was tough. But everybody knew that, like, she loved fiercely and without hesitation, without condition. And that's the legacy that I want to carry on. The way that my abuela made me feel is the way that I want to make sure that people feel when they encounter me in whatever shape or form they do. That's why I write, you know, it's why my books are love letters. Right. Are love, literally in the title. The Bronx is my home, love letter to the Bronx and to kids so that they know that they can become whatever they want to become, no matter where they're from. And Gloriana Presente is a love letter to kids that are nervous and are anxious and that are struggling to find their voice. I want them to know that they are loved and that their voice and their story and their journey matters. So yeah, I think that's what. A legacy of love. That's it.
I love that. You're already there. You're already there. The little kids want to hug you. The little kids want to hug you. Take pictures. Honestly,
that's how I determine if it was a successful visit or not. Because the adults are nice. They're always going to be nice to you. Like, oh, that was so great.
Right.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. Right? That's the adults. Right. But the kids are like, rah! If they don't hug up on me, I'm like, damn, you didn't do it, Alyssa. You didn't do it this time.
I love that. Well, muchísimas gracias for being here. Let the folks all the ways that they can support you.
Yes. The best ways to support me is the best way to support any author. Buy our books, request our books at the libraries, review our books. All of that really makes a difference. Share our books on social. You come across it, you get it from the library, it touches you, it impacts you. Refer it to somebody you know will like it. The word of mouth is still the number one and most effective form of marketing. So if you read a book that you love and that brings you joy and makes you feel the feelings, pass that joy on to your best friend. And be like, yo, you need to read this book. It was so good, right? So, yeah. Buy, review, refer.
Muchísimas gracias. I'm going to have it in the show notes, but tell them your social handles, where they can find you. Where are you most active?
I am most active on Instagram, and you can find me at A, for my first name, Reynoso Morris. R-E-Y-N-O-S-O, Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S.
Dope. Well, I want to wish you all the success. Muchísimas gracias for what you're doing for your community and other communities so they can see themselves reflected. This is just one of many, as I'm sure many more to come. And I'm super excited when you write and or create a series about your abuelita. We want to know. I want to know that story. For
it's
sure.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun. Like, I have been laughing. My cheeks hurt. I feel like I have so much energy right now after talking to you. But at the same time, I feel like I need to figure out a way to give my face some rest. You have rejuvenated me. I feel super energized and excited. You are a gem. You are amazing.
Keep doing
the amazing work that you're doing. And hopefully I get to meet you out west one day.
Yeah, or I'm going to New York a lot. I'll be out there in April, speak at a conference and stuff. And so, yeah, please.
Let's figure that out because I'm going to be in New York a lot in April.
Perfect. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, muchísimas gracias.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah. There you have it, folks. Alyssa Reynoso Morris. What a good time. What a good time. And what she's doing for the community, how amazing to be her daughter and be like, mommy just, where's your mommy's book? The shade. The absolute shade. I love it. It was a joy. I can't wait to see her other book come out. And I really, really want that story of some sort in some medium of her abuelita. Very inspiring story. So I just want to say muchísimas gracias for you guys chilling and hanging out with Word to Your Mama. What I haven't been good about since I started this podcast in September 2020 is let you guys know what the hell I'm up to, because it started, that wasn't the reason for this, right? It has evolved. We're still here. So I just want to let you know that in the show notes, there's going to be a link, because if you may or may not know, I am a speaker, right? Spoken at the UN, spoken at NFT NYC, Wonder Woman Tech, and a bunch of other places. And I have a schedule. There's a reel, a speaker reel. There's all this, you know, frequently asked questions, how to book me. And then there's an upcoming events page. You can see all the amazing places that I've been in. Had the honor and privilege to have asked, am I saying that correctly? I don't know, my brain is off today, to ask to speak. So you could see all that there for sure. And as always, like you heard in the promo, all these different ways that we can collaborate and work together. Let me know how I can help you. Let me know how we can collaborate. So book some time, email me, all that good stuff. Also, if you've purchased already a I Am in My Ancestors Vengeance t-shirt, or you're about to, and you want to be featured on our socials, then go ahead and send us, either DM us, email us, the photo of you wearing the shirt in whatever environment you want, your name, your title, your organization, and what I Am My Ancestors Vengeance means to you personally. And then I will put that in there. Give me all your handles también for your social, especially IG. And then I will post that. We've done two so far, and there's going to be more in the future. And muchísimas gracias for purchasing that. I love seeing it. It brought tears to my eyes to see it out in the wild when people send me photos. And, you know, it's my handwriting and the reason behind it and what it means to me and what it means to so many, in that piece, that where it comes from, that I made with my abuelita and my mom on it, you know, since they passed. And it was at the event exhibit right after, immediately after us speaking and presenting at the United Nations. I mean, it's levels upon levels upon levels. So yes, send me all that, because we want to showcase you guys. Thank you so much for supporting. You know the deal. You can donate, you can buy stuff at the store. There's a code in the show notes. You know, a really great way to support is to tell your folks, tell your peeps, tell your friends. Leave us reviews. Let's get this podcast into as many places as possible so that people can hear these amazing diverse stories, maybe be inspired. I mean, the feedback I've gotten off of the surveys has been tremendous. Speaking of which, I got to pick a winner so I could send them a prize pack. That's going to be done this week. Yes. So muchísimas gracias for all the support. As always, we reap. Word to Your Mama's own and produced by Ritzy P. Intro beat produced by Nico Beats. For partnership inquiries and contact info, check out wordtoyourmama.com. And as always, Word to Your Mama is brought to you by RitzyPeriwinkle.com. And now, introducing
the Supernatural Bear Corner.
Supernatural Bear. Burp.